Now, the interim report of the Shannon Estuary Economic Task Force was published yesterday. It's been welcomed for affirming the Deepwater Port as a zone of sufficient potential to transform the nation's energy generation profile and economy in line with climate targets. The task force was set up to identify what the best path forward was in relation to the industry, the economic and the overall benefit for the area. It's identified Foynes in West Limerick and Money Point in Clare as potentially powerful new centres for offshore wind and hydrogen power. The estuary would also become a hub for sustainable transport tech as well as a Western digital gateway to Europe. Now, it's also, the report mentioned, Shannon LNG, even though that wasn't a part of its remit to examine all elements of that. They have a medium-term energy outlook. With me on the line to talk about this in more detail in relation to this report and what it says with regards to North Kerry in particular. It was launched, of course, yesterday by Leo Varadkar, the Taoiseach, the Department of Enterprise, overseeing this process. I've got Brendan O'Donnell, who's Vice President of Research and Vice President of Academic Affairs and Registrar at Munster Technological University, one of the members of the task force. Brendan, good morning to you and thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Gerry, and thank you for having me on.
Now, this is a significant body of work. You had to look at a number of different areas here, and you had a number of what you call building blocks. You were looking at considering, you know, an economy powered by renewable energy, an upskilling of the workforce and attraction of new talent, building on the region's innovative tradition, leading and embracing new ways of working, new healthier ways of living, and creating vibrant urban landscapes. So that's the areas you were looking in. A lot of potential here. Is that the shorthand for what you've come up with?
Absolutely, Gerry. Well, just to give maybe a little bit of background to the thinking of the task force, I suppose, you know, very early on in the conversations, I mean, under the extension chair of Barry O'Sullivan, who brings a huge wealth of, you know, commercial and FDI experience to the table, and from West Limerick as well, so very conscious of the concerns, and particularly in terms of North Kerry, West Limerick and parts of Clare, and the feel that they have, you know, got the rough end of the stick in terms of investment down through the years. It's essentially, it's not a kind of a, you know, the country needs to do something for the West. It's basically, what can the West do for the country? And I think that has kind of formed a lot of the conversation. And I suppose when you look at the estuary, it has two particular natural resources. One is a deep water, and it's in a sheltered environment, so that in terms of shipping and port activity, that's a huge resource there. And secondly, off the west coast of Ireland, there is a wind resource, which is the envy of all of Europe, certainly, and beyond. Like, potentially, there is 70 gigawatts of energy realizable off the west coast of Ireland. To put that in context, Ireland is somewhere in around 5 to 7 gigawatts demand at the moment. So that's essentially what set out our focuses in terms of, you know, what can we do for the country and basically benefit from that in terms of the industries that were set up around that. And I think that's where the kind of the tone of the report is going.
Okay, so what do you say, or what's your views on how best we get there to become this hub, become this renewable energy hub, and become this innovative centre of digital technology for the country?
Well, essentially, you know, in terms of the interim report, and it is an interim report at this point, and just, you know, that comes obviously with its own with health warning, and that's to, I mean, particularly in terms of the Minister and for Enterprise and Taoiseach, and obviously Eamon Ryan, and his remit has been very involved in this process as well. So it's essentially, I mean, to effectively show our thinking, this is where we think is going, and to see what level of support. And to be frank, the level of support has been very strong and very positive feedback to date. So clearly, and particularly in terms of the offshore wind, that is a huge infrastructural project. It can't just happen tomorrow. To enable that to happen, there has to be an awful lot of enabling infrastructure to be put in place in the first instance. Some of that has already been committed to, for example, the rail line to Foynes and the extension of the motorway to Foynes. And clearly, and certainly people from Kerry would see that further expansions of those infrastructure, particularly the road infrastructure, down along the coast road, etc., maybe ultimately on to Tralee, would be a very important part in the longer term as well. Other infrastructures in terms of, you know, 5G and other networks. And also then you have the wider piece then in terms of housing, water, wastewater treatment, all of those in terms of people if they do come to work and live in the region, the infrastructure is there to support that lifestyle.
Okay, so that's very important as well. Now, you talk about Ballylongford and Shannon LNG, the proposed import storage and distribution and electricity generation facility, the Shannon Technology and Energy Park, as it's now called. It's currently under consideration by Bord Pleanála, but you've noted the ongoing public commentaries from the Irish Academy of Engineers and others that are strongly in favour of having an LNG import and storage facility for security supply in Ireland, and that EU policy since July of 2022 considers natural gas a traditional sustainable fuel, and that new LNG facilities are being accelerated across the EU at present. And you say there's an opportunity to significantly reduce CO2 emissions relatively quickly by replacing coal and fuel oil generation that's already operating beyond its planned life. And the issue of the plant and terminal, that it will be future-proofed as well, to have the ability to transition to hydrogen fuel once technology and public policy are fully developed. It's widely believed the proposed project would greatly enhance the prospect of further investment in North Kerry, an area that's not secured any major new industrial investment in almost 50 years and is suffering significant decline. So is that a vote of confidence from the task force in what's planned for Ballylongford?
I think I suppose at the outset, and it says in the interim report, I mean, it's not within the remit of the task force to evaluate the potential of the LNG plant. I think though, you know, and the report clearly calls it out, the world has moved on significantly in the last 12 months. I think there are, you know, it's obvious there are significant concerns about energy supply and energy security. I mean, if listening to the news last night, I mean, Ireland is very much maxed out. UK is under significant pressure, and some European countries are under significant pressure.
7 gigawatts of energy required, electricity required, a record for the country, the demand.
Absolutely. And also, of course, as part of our reports, not only looking to the future, but we also must secure what we already have. And we have significant industrial users who are currently need gas for high temperature processes. It's the only fuel currently that's available to them. You could start with Kerry Group in Stoll, Ahanish, Irish Cement, several factories in Limerick City, all of which provide employment over the wider region. And clearly they are concerned about the security of supply, and that's a short-term issue. And I suppose the report calls out, first of all, the level of support that's in the community among community groups and public representatives for the LNG plant in Ballylongford. Also, you've quoted the Academy of Engineers and others. But as I said, the process is with Bord Pleanála at the moment. They will make a determination on the planning piece, and then I suppose it's, you know, after that then the process will resolve itself
for the company.
It's absolutely important though, you know, that it be felt that, you know, there is an element in the room in terms of you know, what do we do between here and the point we actually get to the offshore wind. And there are concerns out there in that you come in with an interim solution and suddenly that becomes the medium or long term solution, and clearly the task force recognises that in the longer term or even in the medium term we have to transition to
away
green energy
from
supply.
Gas to green energy. And with that in mind, you set out some of the challenges, and these are the things that need to be acted on by local authorities, by national government. There's a lack of clarity in long-term Atlantic offshore energy policy, an associated lack of measures to accelerate the construction of enabling infrastructure, a lack of recognition of Ireland's resource in the European context, lack of a suitable port infrastructure, lack of long-term Atlantic offshore electricity grid strategy, concerns relating to the resourcing of planning and consenting bodies, and a lack of integrated national industrial and societal strategy, insufficient investment in relevant education, innovation and R&D. That's a lot of work, I would imagine, that would need to be done if any of this is going to be realised, Brendan.
Absolutely, and I suppose the key word in this is policy, because, you know, once, you know, I mean, clearly if there's clear direction on government policy is this is what we intend to do and this is what we intend to progress, then a lot of the other pieces would have to flow from that, because it has become government policy. And, like, I mean, a key aspect of this is that in the early phases, what's looked at here is somewhere between 5 and 10 gigawatts. it can go, as I said, up to 70. Once you go beyond the 5 or the 7 gigawatt, then you have surplus electricity. What do you do with that surplus energy? So do you put it up on the network, which is limited, or do you try and do other activities with it, like convert it into hydrogen or aviation or marine fuels on the side? And this is where the whole, that huge land bank from Tarbert all the way down to Ballylongford can come into play at that stage, as well as other areas around the estuary, is to actually optimise the energy on site. And that's kind of a key thinking part of the report as well. What we don't want, basically, is to harvest the energy off the east coast and or off the west coast, and then it certainly goes out of the country completely and with very little value added from our perspective. So we see the value add as a key part of that.
Brendan, finally, listen, look, the tourism and leisure, you identified that North Kerry has the potential to attract more visitors.
Absolutely. And I mean, certainly in terms of the tourism leisure, I mean, I suppose that part, which is a fantastic amenity down what was the Coast Road, always felt maybe that is very much, you know, the poor relation when you take the other road to Kerry, and obviously on the Clare side as well, which is some very poor infrastructure as well in that area. And to develop those, they need infrastructural enabling activities as well to develop that. It's, you know, the tourism growth has looked at the moment of maybe, you know, kind of slow tourism, more green tourism. That's an emerging market, and certainly, you know, there's great scope there. So that subcommittee is currently, you know, pulling those pieces together as what needs to be done to actually exploit that tourism. And obviously on the other side then as well is that obviously we're very conscious in terms of developing the offshore wind piece, is that you don't impact on other industries. Other industries such as tourism in the area as well. And I suppose the final piece as well that needs just mentioning is, of course, the onshore energy. Now, I mean, there has been some controversy on particularly North Kerry and particularly in terms of wind energy, but also, you know, and probably some of our firing bodies feel a little bit aggrieved, particularly during the summer, a lot of blame was put towards the agricultural sector in terms of carbon emissions. And the task force is very conscious of looking at technologies that would enable that sector to offset some of their carbon production. And we're looking particularly like at biomethane, on roof solar. And again, there are a lot of policy issues there that would enable that to happen a lot easier and a lot quicker.
Yeah. All right. We're out of time, Brendan. Thanks. We'll look more at the report and we'll get the full-time report in the due course of time. But thanks so much for taking time to talk to me in the program this morning.
Thank you very much.